And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
All right, welcome along to the GAR. This is the Hurling Show. Conal and Damien are here. This is the first show of the week, actually. So if any of you were hoping to hear Paddy and JJ on Monday, it was a bank holiday, and I woke up with no voice on Monday after a stag and dingle. So no chance of a podcast on Monday, and then we didn't do it on Tuesday. So we're going to cover some of the stuff from last Sunday today. But first, because we did a football show just there now, and was talking to Alan Brogan, Conal, you've Dublin Club Championship tonight. There's a shitstorm brewing about the under-21s. You've obviously got two fellas on the under-21s. What's the situation now?
The situation now is that the game is still on. What we wanted to do was play with everyone. Like, the two lads that are with us, Colly Baswell and Shane Clayton, are a huge part of what, you know, our team.
Yeah.
Hugely influential players. And we wanted everyone to play because it's a knockout championship tonight. So I think the county board released the under-21 players back to the club, saying, look, they're free to play. Everything was grand until the players, 21 players themselves, had a meeting, and they decided that they're not playing club championships because it's too close to the All-Ireland final, and they've got the backing of Desi. So at the minute, it looks like that the lads themselves won't be playing. Now,
right.
It could change. They may decide themselves to play, but they'd be breaking ranks down on Desi, so I can understand.
It's terrible.
That.
It's an awful position they're in. Like, I mean, it's their club, and you're a successful club, and they've done a lot with G, and then they've an under-21. You know, under-21, you only really have 2 or 3 years window to play it. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of club players in that under-21 meeting that have no chance of winning the Dublin club that will be going, let's not play this, lads. And you can understand that. It's just a poxy position. And how can the Dublin County Board... Dublin were favourites for the under-21. How can they not see this coming down the tracks?
Well, I think it was penciled in, the fixtures were fixed, and they knew this was going to happen a long, long time ago. But look, I suppose their attitude is the way the draw is made, you know, it's nearly a strong team against a nearly a relatively weak team, so everyone is probably saying, well, the good teams are going to probably win anyway,
except for your game.
So our game is the big one. It's between ourselves and Plunkett, so, you know, that's going to be very tight. There's not going to be nothing in it, and the fact that whoever loses tonight is totally gone out of chance, and next year you're into the B championship, and the next year you're going to get that hard draw again, like, because Plunkett's were in the other side of the draw. It's kind of seeded a little bit,
right,
you know?
I didn't know that. Right,
so
that's why
it's a double whammy if you lose tonight.
So you, like, your phone must be hopping all morning. Are you trying to get the game off, or is this still up for debate, or is there any way out of it for you?
Oh, well, I think the way it is at the minute is everyone is told it's on, but you know, everyone has to be mentally right for the game and switched on, and if it's called off at the last minute, it's called off. But at the minute, everyone's gear and ready to go, and I'm presuming the lads are playing, and so I'm sure there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes with all the committees in the club and the chairman and everything, but at the minute it's still on. That could change in the next hour, I don't know.
Yeah, right, okay. Well, listen, I want to apologise to all the hurling people for having some football talk at the top of the show. Sorry for boring you there with that, Damien, but it's a bit of controversy.
No, you're fine, no problem.
We'll get on to some real controversy if we want controversy. It's come out this morning that Davy Fitz has been suspended for 8 weeks. So that's the maximum ban he could have got for the offence. Coming on and interfering with a player is the 8 week ban. So he's gone for the first round against Offaly, and he's gone for the Kilkenny game. So the ban doesn't end until midnight the night after Kilkenny game. So the talk is Wexford are going to appeal this because they want the one game ban to have him back on the line. I think Wexford should just suck it up and go, listen, he deserves 8 weeks. If there's more than 8, I want to get your thoughts on what he did here first, because we obviously, Conal, I'll start with you.
I can see why he did it. I can nearly understand why he did it. But he probably crossed the line. You can't go onto the field like that and okay, you can step on a little bit and make your point, but he kept coming all the way to nearly midfield and made contact with other players. Like, that could have easily escalated. You know, if two or three players of the Tipperary. I think your man Jason Tipperary was involved in giving him, you know, a bit of a nudge.
Forge, yeah.
Yeah, Forge, sorry, yeah. But if you give him a good nudge and Davey hit the ground, then, it could be an absolute brawl.
Exactly.
You know?
It's so, completely irresponsible.
Yeah, there was no need for it. Like, okay, he was, at the end, you know, he was doing the interview with TG Carr and he was kind of more or less laughing about it, saying, look, sure, I had to try something, you know. I can understand he was aggrieved for the decision. It probably was a free out to Wexford. But you look at Brian Cody, you never see him coming onto the field.
Although, no.
He does get animated, but you can't come onto the field and do what he did. It's out of order, really.
But yeah, it's being dressed up as passion, Damien. Like, I mean, you can be is Brian Cody not passionate? You know, is Michael, people show passion in different ways. Passion should not be used as some sort of an excuse for a manager to come on and interfere with players.
There's different types of passion, so there is, as we all know, right? But what that was last Sunday was just pure stupid. And there's no other word for it, you know. And I have no problem saying this. This is where Davey lets himself down. Davey has lots of good attributes he has, and then he's lots of bad ones. And this is at the top. So he's able to man-manage players. He's able to get top-class training sessions. He's able to get the best out of players. He brings a hype and an energy about a setup. Like, but this is where he lets himself down. And I've heard rumours, so I have, where there's, you know, and maybe we'll say the ordinary supporter might know this, but on the day of matches, there does be mics on the pitch, you know, as in on pitch side, you know, and they had to remove the mics around Davey, so they had for a day of championship matches because of his language and his outbursts and giving out linesmen and whatever else, you know. But he completely and utterly overstepped the mark. You cannot, like, by all means, you can have a rant and a rave and make a decision and make a point across, but you can't come out onto the pitch. And I agree with Cornel there. If the whole thing escalated, there could have been a massive brawl. Players could have got hurt and whatever, you know. And I think he overstepped the mark. And there's a massive difference between passion and having a rant and disciplinary issues. But I think I have to agree with you all. I don't think anybody can justify and defend Davey on this one. But Wexford going to appeal it. Wexford are going to appeal it anyways, just to support their manager and support Davey, who's after coming down to Wexford and after making huge changes and putting a bit of hype back in, hurling down to Wexford. But what he did last Sunday was just stupid. He was trying to get a reaction out of the players, and in fairness, he probably did, but it was it's hard to defend why he did.
Like, I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to get something more out of his team and get a reaction from the Wexford lads themselves. But I've been involved in loads of teams where managers lose the head on the line, you know, and they do something silly and they get sent to the stand and there's a big hullabaloo for maybe 5 or 6 minutes. For me personally, it's like, look, let us get on with the game. I don't need that. Like, you know, that's not going to help us. Okay,
it's
might help him personally, you know, and he might think he's doing the right thing, but to look at the line and you're really waiting for an explosion all the time out of Davey. So I don't think it really, the Wexford were doing very well up to that point. Okay, that went against him, that few minutes and period of time, but doing an outburst like that and running onto the field wasn't going to change it.
No,
really.
It has no effect. And any intelligent player would look at that and go, get off the field, you'd stop making an idiot. Yeah. To think that that's going to fire your team up, that would embarrass me as a player, to see my manager running in, hitting another or giving a lad a shoulder. Like, I don't want to be too much of a drama queen about it, but if that happened at club level, I've often been on the field where I've actually been nervous. Like, you're playing wing forward, centre forward. The other team's whole management team is lining the line. They're coming in on the field at some stages.
Yeah.
Like, if a manager popped out of the woodwork there and took a pop at someone, like, the couple of mad idiots in the subs are going to come on and clock you. Suddenly you're fearing, like, in an away league game in club level. This can't filter down. Like, I'm not saying that it'll be copycat, but you'd be surprised at what people see on television. That's the highest profile manager, well, in the top three, in one of the top profile counties, in a league semi-final on TV, and he's doing this. And he's trying to say this. And do you know the worst thing is he's trying to say it fired up his team.
Yeah,
as in, managers will now think this works. It does not, absolutely not work with any player with any bit of intelligence that's going to fire him up. It can't, lads. Like, it just simply can't. And it's like back in the dressing room when the manager would be going around giving you punches and all that. I'd be thinking, will he stop doing this? It's a championship game. But it's that whole idea that you need to be a bit mad or get him going. Like, you'd hate for this,
Colin,
nonsense.
I'll come in there and I could nearly guarantee you that there will be no other manager in the country this year that will cross the line and walk 100 yards out towards the referee during the middle of a game. I could nearly guarantee it won't happen, because what it was just stupidity. And he can try defend it any way he wants, but, and we don't want to blow it out of proportion or whatever, but it just can't happen. And it I don't think we'll see that again this year. Just, we will not, definitely.
But it was funny, I can understand someone, David, doing that if the, like, you know, sometimes they say the red mist comes out and you're just oblivious to what happens. But he went out, he stopped,
he
and he went
it.
Again.
He saw
so
it.
He knew,
yeah.
So he knew what he was doing. Like, it's not as if he lost the plot or anything.
Yeah, I'd say as a manager, I've often thought if a flashpoint with one of your players happens right in front of you, it must be very difficult to restrain yourself because you're all in it together and go, but he went a good distance for that. Like, that's not something that might get your heart rate going, you know, to actually, oh, I wasn't thinking for a split second. Yeah. He actually contrived to do this to fire his team up, which makes it 100 times worse.
And it's a little bit disappointing as well. Like, it's now whatever Thursday and we're still talking about Davey, while we forget about the fact that Wexford were so good up until maybe 55 minutes. They really were hurling really well and the best they've done all year, and that seems to be now put away, and it's all about Davey and him coming onto the pitch and making, you know, a bit of a nuisance of himself.
Yeah, well, it is true. John Milan actually pointed out that it was karma in the Independent, and I hadn't even thought of this at the time, because that Kerwin referee, remember, he gave Tony Kelly that real soft free against Waterford in the league last year that completely turned the game. That was Kerwin, I mean, and that was on his side. You didn't see, who did it beat? Waterford. You didn't see Derek McGrath coming running in, like, making a show out of himself. Like, Derek McGrath is another passionate man. Without that added nonsense. Dan Shannon is a passionate man. He's the carrier in and out on the field. You know, you don't see that out of any manager with a bit of bloody cop on.
Yeah. And again, I think
I'm tired of this Davey stuff, though. That's because, like, you hear it all the time. It's passion.
All about,
it's passion.
It's all about Davey, and that's what drives.
I think that's the truth.
And even when Clare, that's a lovely young Clare team that he had for the last couple of years and won in All Ireland, right? And instead of us being talked about all these brilliant, classy players that they have, Clare, right? This is over the years. We always end up talking about Davey and this, Davey effect, and this, what Davey did, and this. So I'd actually agree 100% with you there, Conor. I'm sick of the whole Davey thing. Like, them Wexford players, yeah, he put my set up in place and good structures and good training and all that. But them Wexford players deserve an awful amount of praise and credit for standing up and fronting up and putting in the performances all over the winter and all over the league, you know, instead of us just talking about this one individual. So, like, hats off to the extra players on the performance they put in against Tipperary the last day, and fair play to them, and hopefully they'll go a good distance as well in the championship. But as you said, this thing of the whole time talk about the Davey factor, I'm sick of it myself.
Yeah, and he come out after the game, Conal, and he started talking about, oh, they stuck to the game plan until 60 minutes. And then when they got hammered in the last 10 minutes, well, they went away from what I told them, but I'm going to work on that. As in, everything good they did was what I did for them, and everything then when they fell apart is they went away from what I taught them to do. You know, that kind of way. Like, it's very obvious the type of kind of character this fella is.
Basically what they're saying, Colin, is basically you're like a Jose Mourinho rant. You know, he'd be the one that said he told them to do this when they're winning, and when they don't win, they didn't do what I told them. So.
Yeah.
But he'll only get away with that for 1 year. Like, if Wexford do well this year, you know, eventually the players are going to go, look, you know, okay, it was acceptable for a year. Maybe everything was new and you were great. But look, now we need to concentrate on the actual team and how we're playing, not about the antics that's happening on the line or whatever he's getting up to off the field and everything like that. It's not about Davey, it's about the players and about Wexford more than anything. And he should be trying to push that more than push himself than anything else.
And there's evidence to suggest he is a short term come in, give a county a boost. Because I'd say if I was a Wexford player reading that and go, hang on a minute, buddy, we still stuck to the system. Don't start throwing us under the bus here. Yeah. Like, I mean, you're in this with us. like, you know what I mean? He doesn't want to take responsibility. It's not his fault. And maybe that's a reason why Clare, initial impact for a year or two, Waterford, initial impact for a year or two. And then his influence starts to wane, I think, as players start to figure out, I hear he's actually more harm to us than good. Because another point actually I wanted to make about him before we will go off him is he gives referees such a hard time from the line. Do you ever watch him? Like, he's constantly, like, there's certain people you'll go to a match with or hear them in a match and they constantly abuse the referee, just at him. That turns the referee against his team. Like, Clare sometimes didn't get the fair hop of it, but like, a referee's only human. This lad's absolutely tormenting me here, and it might affect whether they're going to be more objective about it or not.
Well, certainly I think you always get the sense that the linesmen have linesmen that are going up and down. They have a little bit of fear, you know, when a manager's like that, because they're any call that they're going to make. That's why the managers do it. They start roaring and shouting, because if there's a dodgy call, they'll go with whoever shouts the loudest, pretty much. And look, realistically, this linesman should have been, you know, pulling them back, saying, "Listen, buddy, get off. You know, you're not supposed to be on here." But I suppose that's the Davey, and maybe he is a little bit. The linesmen and the referees are a little bit fearful of him, of what he can do. He's so explosive.
Yeah. What's your take on Jason Ford quickly, lads? Because O'Mara didn't do much, but Ford came down and kind of stood up to him and gave him the hurley a little bit. Wasn't much in that now. Like, I mean, but will it, like?
Yeah.
Will
I'll come in there, Colin, and I'm just going to say I hope nothing happens to Jason Ford.
Yeah, I'd be the same.
Being straight, Jason Ford just went over. He was after having words with Niall O'Mara. Jason Ford only did what any other player would do, went over kind of supporting one of his own, one of his bio lads, whatever, defending him. And David Fitz came over and sized up to him and furbles or whatever and basically brushed off him. So I'm just saying it here now. I hope that Jay has enough cop on, or whoever is over this disciplinary or whatever has a cop on, to say that Jason Ford actually did nothing wrong. So I just wanted to make, so I'd like to say that I hope that Jason Ford does not get punished or anything like that, because if he does, I just going to think it's a disgrace, because what he did was nothing.
Yeah, no, totally agree. There's no way he can get any suspension or even talked about it. It's leave him alone. It wasn't, you know, Davey came onto the field, he was in the wrong, and you know, if I was in the same situation, you know, you probably would do the same thing as Jason, maybe hitting him a bit harder, maybe. But
he's lucky, yeah. He didn't get hit harder.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If he did hit him harder and Davey hit the ground,
Ford would be sent off, maybe. Like,
that's,
you know,
the thing,
yeah.
You know. So, and then you have a massive brawl there for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, we'll move on from that. Shamie Callanan, quickly, he's out for the final. He played the game with a broken thumb, and I want to get your thoughts on this, lads, because I broke my little finger in a match, right? And this is a football match, and I'm not messing. Like, the minute you hear little finger, Conal, you're laughing, right? But the pain from it was incredible. It splintered. Now, I played on, and in the same game I tore my calf, so I had to go off for the calf. But at the same time, how could you grip a hurl with a broken thumb? Like, I mean, is this a common thing to be able to continue on in a game with a broken bone, like in hurling? Like, we know hurlers are manly and you love the manly hurling and you don't show sign of weakness. But can, like, he wasn't as good as he usually is at the weekend. So maybe, it hampered his performance.
Yeah, maybe it did. Like, you'd have to ask, you know, is it a tiny little break? Is it, or what's the situation? Because, yeah. You know, I think every inter-county player, even club players, they all play through something, you know, and I've certainly played through, you know, cracking my foot or cracking my fingers or whatever it is. You know, a lot of times lads just get on with it, you know. You might need an injection before the game or whatever it is, but you just, if it means that much to you, I think you'll just play and get on with it. And you know, I'd be very surprised if it was a real bad break.
Yeah. Can you hear break, you kind of think that straight away.
Yeah,
but
it could be like a little stress fracture or whatever it is that might need a bit of time, and he could have had it coming into it. You just wouldn't know. But, and it depends if it was left hand or right hand. There's a lot of factors in it. But look, I'm sure Damien has played many's a game with broken fingers and everything like that, and everyone does, I think, at inter-county at this stage. You don't go through your career and be perfect every time you go and play the game.
Yeah, have you, Damien? Oh, there's the famous story is Brian Lohan playing in a Munster final and he tore his hamstring.
It's actually in an All-Ireland final.
Or is it the All-Ireland final? Yeah. Against Offaly, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the story was that, and I know this is a true story because I be very friendly with Colin Flynn, and basically which was the physio of the Clare Hurlers. So basically in the 95 All-Ireland final against Offaly, Brian Lohan was marking John Troy and he was after pulling his hamstring, and basically he sent word to Colin Flynn. So Colin Flynn went over and he said, "Yeah, your hamstring's gone," and I think Brian Lohan basically said that he literally wanted to come off, so he went over to Jurlock Nan, Colin Flynn, and said that Brian Lohan's hamstring is gone, what you want to do? And basically Jurlock Nan told him to go back out there and tell Lohan that it's been something like 93 years since Clare played in an All-Ireland final and won an All-Ireland, and that he wasn't coming off and he was playing in the All-Ireland final, and to suck it up and get on with it.
Yeah, we had Brian Lohan on the show in January ahead of the Fitzgibbon Cup. He's the UL manager, and he was playing this down, because I was saying to him, I've had lots of injuries. You can't play on with a hamstring injury. Like, it'd want to be very, very weak. Yeah. But the story is hamstring was hanging off.
Yeah, he definitely had a hamstring problem, I can remember. But you're just saying, did I ever... I remember we played... It's just interesting that Conal is on the show. Just when I'm just thinking here, but we played Dublin in a replay. So we did in a relegation back in 2012, and the game was only on a few minutes, and one of the Dublin lads tackled me, I don't know, just going for the ball, and he actually pulled my left baby finger out of place, and it was, he just tore and basically was just hanging there. So basically you're wondering, like, just basically just strapped it up and just stayed hurling. So I did, and when it was all over, I got it, and it was all the ligaments and everything were gone in that baby finger. So it wasn't like, it needed time to heal, but you didn't get time. So for the rest of the season, I was strapping my baby finger to my next finger, so I was to hurl matches. And it was very difficult because it was my left hand, so to break it to him, I can only imagine what it's like. But you just get on with it, Colin. It means so much to you, and you're wondering, like, do players go out injured, and when they get an injury in the match, do they stay going on? You do, because you're after training there for maybe 6, 7, 8 months, and it's like what Tommy Walsh said in Laker Gale the other day. He says he's made a reference that when he got injured, he went off, and next thing when he said he wants to go back on, your man says, "I know you can stay there." He says, "You're grand now." It's just,
right.
So it can be a bit like that. Can come off, and the lad that goes on could be twice as good.
I don't want to sound real soft here, because I've never played hurling, but imagine you're standing beside a fella and he's driving the hurl into your ribs, or you get a hurl across the shins. Do you become immune to that? Because, like, I mean, if somebody did that to me, my natural instinct would be just to fall down. Is there a way to protect yourself against this?
You don't get immune to it, but you learn to take it for that couple of minutes, maybe a minute or two. Because as every hurling manager says, you'll get your opportunity to get him when the ball is there, and you can either pull high or pull low or whatever the situation is, but you'll get your chance. And that's when you get your chance, you better take it, because they don't come around too often, and you'll get away with it because it's on the ball. Whether you drop that ball and you're pulling a couple of yards above it, but you'll definitely get away with it. There's loads of ways of doing it. And I think, you know, you just bide your time, because reacting like that, when someone's hitting you like that and reacting straight away, he's just going to hit the deck then, and then you look like the fool standing there after him hitting you.
Yeah.
And then the linesman picks you. So
in the past, they didn't go to ground, they just used to stand lads are going to ground trying to get fellas sent off. But I'm just remembering different situations of it, and fellas aren't going to ground, don't seem to be getting hurt by a butt of the hurl being well jabbed into them. I don't know, it's just maybe
you do feel it, alright, that's for sure.
I'd imagine a lot of
players don't want to like acknowledge that you're hurt, is there that manly stuff
about it
I think there is, to a degree, and you do see lads hitting the deck straight away for nothing. But as I said, look, you get your chances, and when you get your chances to nail someone or to give them the belt back, you have to go and do it, and make sure you do it at the right time.
Yeah, Damien, is that when you go down and you shake hands with your man, you're both standing beside each other, is that the time where you might get the quick one or two into the ribs?
Well, I do remember playing a game when I won't tell you who it was marking, right? But I never forget, I was running down into my position, and next thing your man came out to me, and he held his left hand out to shake hands with me. His left hand. So I was running down into my position, and I said, "God, this is strange now. And the man's after putting out his left hand to shake." So me, like a bigger eejit, I put out my left hand to shake hands with him. Next thing, when I put out my left hand, then he gave it to me, so he did with the right hurl right into the rib. I just remember that one particular thing. But being honest with you, Colin, and what you were saying there about getting the hurl and all that, doesn't go on an awful amount, and you know what, especially the top level, it doesn't, you know. And if it does, it's only maybe an odd jab, you know, where being honest, maybe Conan will answer this. I think football is an awful lot more physical than hurling, you know. It's a lot more pulling and dragging and hitting and heavy hitting and shouldering and nudging and elbows compared to hurling, you know. When the game's in full flight, there isn't an awful amount of time for that kind of messing.
There's more shouldering, I'd say.
Yeah, I think there's more. It's more physical and tougher and rougher in football. And as I said, you might be able to answer that, but not as much in hurling. The one thing I will say, over the years from hurling, there's some marks and there's some dints on my shins. So that, you know, where you're going right in the ball, a lad comes in with a genuine effort to go try, you know, flick away the ball, and you get the shins. I'd say there isn't a game I haven't played where I go home and I don't have a scar or blood or skin taken off my shins. So, and I don't wear shin guards, and I don't know any other intercounty hurler that wears shin guards. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think footballers is much more tougher to play, much physical, more physical.
Yeah, I think it is. Where it's more physical, there's more contact. Like, if you're a forward and you get these backs that are constantly touching you and they think it's great, you know, keep touching you in the chest or keep poking you, you know, to make sure to try and keep your mind off the game. And the ball is like maybe 8 or 90, you know, metres away, and that's his thing to do. But you'll always find that those lads that are trying to do that all the time, as soon as the ball comes, they're gone. You know, the good defenders are always just really tight to you. They're not always maybe touching you, but as soon as that ball comes, then comes the contact, which is the most important time. But yeah, look, it is more contact, especially the way football has gone. Everyone's gone so more defensive, and it's all hand pass and it's all pulling and dragging. And it's tough going, even in club football.
You probably need to be aerobically fitter for Gaelic football. Do you?
Oh, definitely, Obviously, definitely. I think even the way lads teams are training. I know from our own club team that the footballers are training like an awful lot more, doing an awful lot more running than the hurlers would do.
Right.
Now maybe that's a reflection on the hurlers, but I don't know. It seems to me that the footballers are way, way above fitness wise than the hurlers would be.
Yeah. Well, you're touching. It's a game based a lot more on skill hurling, obviously. So that's the more, like, you have to weigh up what's more important to us here, and that is getting your touch and, you know, the hand to eye coordination or whatever, right, rather than the running.
Yeah. Well, look, I think as a footballer, if you're athletic and you can run up and down, you get away with it and play in the top level of football. But if you're athletic and you can't hurl, well, then you won't be.
Forget about it. You may be cornerback, just to pull on the shins of Damien or something like that and pull his jersey.
Yeah, well,
right.
The way I look at it, here, Colin, in football, yeah, by all means, fitness is a huge thing in football, and you're able to tackle and all that. But where the skill level comes in, for me, just watching football, is the skill level comes in whether you're able to take a score or not. And there's some players out there, and they're just what we call ball winners and up and down the field and huge stamina and huge fitness rate, but can they keep the ball over the bar? And there's certain, and that's where the skill level comes in football, where in hurling it's all to do with eye coordination, first touch, stick passing, hand passing, the whole lot. But you're just saying about the, you know, getting done for every player has to play their strengths, Colin, so I and Colin, and if the lad is getting done with the hurl and, you know, a bit of personal attention in the corner forward position, whatever, then he's got to play to his strengths, and he has to start moving around. And if you're moving around, running from one corner forward to the other corner forward, out to wing forward and back into corner, there's very little dunting and shoving and pushing that's going to be going on, where the cornerback will have to follow you. So that's just what I just want to say, that you have to play to your strengths.
Yeah, exactly. Right, lads, we'll preview the game next.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Yeah, lads, all the signs is that this league final is going to be an absolute classic. Last two championship meetings, two classics. Drew in the league last year in Salt Hill, so there's no, these are two teams that bring out the best in each other, and, you know, rather than trying to cancel each other out.
Yeah, I think so. It is all set up. I think Galway were very impressive at the weekend, although maybe Limerick weren't at the same standard as they probably were hoping they were at. And obviously Tipperary, I think we've all been talking about them for the last number of weeks, how good they are. But I think the big thing is Galway don't fear ever playing Tipperary, you know, that history is there, and they'll certainly have a good go at them. And what Galway are supposed to be looking for is a good performance, and obviously they want to go and win it, but a good performance is really what they're looking for, and to get a couple of more lads, more game time, and all gearing around moving on for the championship. But while they're here in the league final, they're going to have one hell of a go at Tipperary, and I'm sure they feel they have some real strengths with the way Cooney is playing at the minute, and lads inside are really motoring really well, and that they can exploit that Tipperary backline to a degree. But it's been tried before this year so far, and it's hard to do.
It is, yeah. Is there an argument, Damien, we don't really know where Galway are at, in that you can put the Waterford game into context, that Waterford were experimental, and you'll be kind of bragging about the fact that Limerick were pretty, pretty poor the last day. You know, they didn't really show up. So do we know how well Galway are doing? The big test at home against Wexford, they failed it.
Yeah. It's a good point, Colm, right? So it is. And being honest with you, if you were just to compare the two games between Wexford and Tipperary and Galway and Limerick, it was like the Galway-Limerick game was like a challenge match, a glorified challenge match, you know, and there wasn't even an atmosphere down there. And that's just being honest. And I expected more from Limerick in particular, down in Limerick, you know, especially with the game being on in the gated grounds. I just expected more out of them, you know. So in that sense, it was a disappointing game. Like Galway won the game quite easy by 10 points. So I thought the Galway forwards in particular, where they played very well and they showed very well, they got way too easy.
Yeah.
Then you take the Wexford against Tipperary. Wexford's and the Wexford boys got stuck into the Tipperary lads, you know. So it's going to be a very, very interesting league final. I think it's going to be a great game. That's the one I agree with you. It's going to be a cracking game. It's on in the Gaelic grounds. Always a good game between Galway and Tipperary. Galway won't fully know where they're at, but they will know after Sunday, right? And I think it's a huge opportunity for Galway to win silverware. I think it's very important for this Galway team to start winning stuff and to get into winning ways. And it's important that they try to win this National Hurling League. So they, on Sunday, it's a great opportunity for them. It won't be easy against Tipperary, who are now a very, very settled setup. But so are Galway. Galway are a very settled setup as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you asked me a question the other day, you know, about Johnny Ginn, you know, where would he come into the forward line? And I started thinking about this. I said, like, where would Johnny Ginn come into the forward line? You know, you have Joe Cannon, you have Joseph Cooney, you have Mannion, you have Whelan, you have Conor Cooney, and now you have Pádraig Brahaney, who I often wonder where was he gone, but it's great to see him back in team. So they have a very, very nice forward line there, Galway, in the six forwards in the afternoon. And so,
how good is Brahaney? He's a worker.
But I'll tell you about Brahaney. Yeah, he's a very good worker and he's a fierce, honest player. And I know an awful lot about him. I'd be actually quite friendly with his dad. So I was right. He got under 21 hurler of the year in Galway, so he did 2 years ago. And he got on the under 21 All-Star team, so he did 2 years ago. So he did. And Brahaney's a good lad and he's a good sized lad. And I tell you, the greatest attribute that Brahaney has, he's a brain. And he'll always hit in a really good ball. And he'll always hit in a what we call a 70-30 ball. And he's well able to take a score, but he's a great hurling brain. And he's well able to pass a ball and give a ball. So I would rate Brahaney. I'd be a bit of a fan of his. I like the way he hurls and he's intelligent. So I think he's a very, very good player. You're asking a question, I think he's a good player.
Do you feel, when I was watching the Galway, in the last couple of maybe weeks, the Galway forwards are like all really good stick hurlers and really good, but I feel if a Tipperary defence get physical with them, will they struggle with that element of it? Because any time I've noticed we've played Galway, it's always been let's get as physical as we can with them, you know. So once you let them hurl, they'll hurl you off the field. That's what we always feel. But if you get as physical as you can, you know, then you'll find out if they're up for the fight or not.
I'll
answer that question, right? And I'm just saying, right, you're saying will they be able for the physicality? I'm after naming six forwards there, right? Cannon, Cooney, Mannion, Whelan, Conor Cooney and Pádraig Brahaney. All them players are 6 foot plus, every one of them. So if should any of them six players be bullied or pushed out of the way? Absolutely not. Like, the Galway forward line has really changed, so it has since 2013, which basically was my last year with Galway. And a good friend of mine said it to me one day, you know, Damien, there's no place anymore in the Galway forward line for small players. And I was one of the smallest players to lead that Galway forward line and had been replaced with all six-footers. So to just answer that, Colin, and I see your point, will they be up for the fight and all that, but there's no way that any of the Galway forwards should be bullied or pushed around. They're all big players, huge player, in brilliant physical conditioning. So they are big, strong lads. They should all be able to carry their own patch and defend their own area as well. So I'd be surprised if they get bullied. And if they do get bullied, they shouldn't be, because they're all big enough.
But size mightn't be whether they like that kind of a game or not. You know, size is irrelevant if they like it easy. You know, that kind of way. Yeah, they shouldn't if they're a big man. But some big men...
There are big men, but they're coming up against big men too. And, you know, the spine of that Tipperary team, and a lot of them are over 6 foot anyway. Nearly the county backs nearly are over 6 foot now to a degree.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's not a fact that I'm getting bullied. I don't think that would really come into it. But I just think physically they won't be able for it.
Because I think Galway have shed that reputation a bit the last few years. You can trust them a little bit more than, you know, I think they've proven against Tipperary in the last two Ireland semi-finals that they're for real. You know, that kind of way, they're a real team. And I don't know, I would have had that perception a little bit.
I can see where that's coming from, all right? I don't know, look, it'll be a big test for them on the weekend, and we really see where that, because they've been okay. They played Waterford and did really well against Waterford at times, but like Limerick were really poor. Like at the back, they were giving them so much space, and even physically they were dominating them in the air and everything. So I just feel that it's going to be a totally different setup on the weekend, and it'll tell a lot after the weekend. How does Galway team are really going to react later on in the year?
You'd almost imagine, if you're analysing it the way we are, is Tipp will get a great start because they're at a higher pitch of it, you know, and Galway might have to try and get into the game. Now that we're on the subject of the Galway forwards, I want to ask you about Cathal Mannion. I'll ask you, Damien, like, if there's ever a fella that blows hot and cold, it's Cathal Mannion, and when he's on song, he's absolutely breathtaking. We're looking at 5, 6, 7 points from play from all angles, and he has a really unique style. He's really upright kind of when he hits it. He never has to break stride. He just does it all so natural. But then you see him in the All-Ireland final against Kilkenny after having a great Leinster final. He got marked out of it, and he's got marked out of against Tipperary as well. Now he's played well against them too. What's his story?
Well, one thing I'll say about Cathal Mannion, when he's in full throttle, he's a joy to watch.
Yeah.
He's striking is immense. His striking is up there with Bubbles, you know. And there, you know, once he strikes the ball, it just darts over the bar. So it was, you know. And he's a top class forward. He's a brilliant first touch. And the last day against Limerick, like, he just had an unbelievable game. Now, he won't get it as easy against the Cathal Barretts, you know. Are these guys, which are Mickey Calls, will say next Sunday, right? Because I just thought the Limerick backline were just so standoffish. Now, that's something for Limerick to work on, we'll say, going into the Munster Championship against Cork, you know, and that's something for the lads to really try and prove. But like, he's a great player. But just on the, you know, you're saying blowing hot and cold against Kilkenny in the All-Ireland final. Well, just to defend him a little bit, I reckon what happened to him in the All-Ireland final against Kilkenny that time was, I reckon he got to the All-Ireland final and he was burnt out. He was playing, he played every match that particular year. So he did Walsh Cup, Railway Cup, National League, Championship, and next thing he was still under 21, and he was playing under 21 challenge matches. And I just reckoned once he got to the Tipperary All-Ireland semi-final, he was after scoring, I think it was 5 points to play. Next thing he had to play a league or an All-Ireland semi-final with Galway, and next thing I think he was just burnt at that stage. But when he's in full throttle, he's absolutely top notch. He's a top forward, so he's, and hopefully we'll get a top notch performance of him next Sunday. But it'll be completely different for him compared to what he got last Sunday. The stages, as I just described it, the Galway Limerick game at stages was like a challenge match.
It was, and in fairness, I said something about Conor Whelan recently on the show, but Conor Whelan wasn't out for a challenge match anyway. He got 2 points off hassling and harrying and dispossessing his men, and I was wondering, like, he's not the finisher that the top lads are, but he is a bit inspirational in there with his work rate and his busyness, you know, and he's just outstanding. I want to talk about the Tipperary full forward line, because Noel McGrath and John McGrath was on the league Sunday. They got 2-2 each, and Noel McGrath, I didn't see the game live, I presume he played in the corner. He's down on every team sheet as in the corner, and they have a nice little understanding. They're obviously brothers. And then the one thing that struck me was Bubbles came on. Bubbles, the game was over. It was kind of showboat time at this stage. Bubbles came on as a sub, and instead of Bubbles saying, right, well, I'm sticking one over the bar because I'd like my name on this team sheet, Bubbles sends a beautiful ball to the edge of the square where Noel McGrath catches and sticks in the back of the net. It's very difficult to get that culture, especially when the game's won, Conal. Like, the easy thing to do there is to play for yourself, and Bubbles didn't do that.
Yeah, it is the easy thing. Everyone wants to get a few scores, and, you know, it's nice to get a couple of scores late on. But I think what's really impressive, when the lads came on, the Tipperary were getting better and better. You know, the taking off a lad and bringing on another, it's just seamless now. You know, they're bringing on Bubbles, and, you know, well, everyone's kind of saying, well, this is going to even get better again, you know. And again, the mentality that they have, I think it stems, we have talked about it before, from the management. You know, if there's a chance on, go and do it. And what a ball across. Perfect ball for a forward. You know, the poor back didn't know what to do, because you know there's a fella in behind you and you know he's going to do it, but you can't do much about it when the ball is that good. And look, Tipperary are really good and nearly enjoyable for me to watch now at this stage. But
it's hard for you to say it, but they are. But I think that their forward play is on a different level to any other team. Like, they play the short little balls that other teams don't play.
Yeah, they do, and they also work so hard. Like, they really, really work so hard, and that's how they got their goal, and that's how with the situation with Davey in the corner. You know, they just don't give up, and I suppose that's coming from the management again, saying, look, you have to keep working hard, and if you're not doing it, well, Bubbles is on the line, or whoever's on the line is going to come on and do the job for you. So there's and a lot of their scores they're getting now are from working really hard and hooking and blocking and handing it off to someone else and running straight in and getting their scores. And look, it's this Tipperary team seem unbeatable at the minute with the way they're playing and the panel that they have. But look, it's still early, it's still a long way to go yet.
How do you stop them, Damien? Because, like, I mean, we're talking about a sweeper who performed brilliantly in the semi-final against a good team like Kilkenny, and he's unable to stop 5-17 from play. 5-18, there's just a 65 thrown into the mix. So, like, I mean, it's very difficult. Sometimes maybe a sweeper allows lads to switch off, you know what I mean? That to pass the book to the sweeper, I don't know, but,
yeah.
Like, I mean, you shouldn't be allowing 5-17 from play. Galway won't play a sweeper, we're sure of that anyways.
Yeah, no, I think Galway will go man-to-man like they did in last year's All-Ireland semi-final. I think it'll be very similar to last year's All-Ireland semi-final. But as I always say, when you play a sweeper, when one team plays a sweeper, that gives the opposition team an opportunity to play a sweeper. And the last day was Ronan Maher. And Ronan Maher is a great... He's twice as good this year than he was last year. And all that's down to is just believing that now he's a regular, believing in himself. So it wasn't like Ronan Maher was the sweeper at last end. He just was getting ball and delivering it long into the corners and everything. And like the Tipperary forward line are just... they're at the top of their game at the moment, you know, and we're speaking about the McGraths there, and the McGraths are fantastic strikers of ball and they're fantastic finishers, and you know, the great thing about the two of them and their brothers, I don't think they're able to run fast, I really don't, but whatever way they're able to position their bodies and read the game, they're able to get onto ball and move away from the lad without sprinting. And like John McGrath got a goal the last day and he turned his man the cornerback. And he wasn't even sprinting, but he was still able to get away from his man and put the ball into the roof of the net. And then you have Noel, who got a goal. And like, we're on about the Tipperary forward line, you know, you have Niall O'Mara there, who's trying to, you know, cement his place and become a regular. He got the ball and just pure vision, offloaded a hand pass, took three Wexford players out of it into Noel McGrath, who then went on and then finished it with a bounce in underneath the goalie, you know. And like they have great players, great forwards come in. Like, you have to remember Breen, right? And Breen had a fantastic season last year, and he's now struggling to make the team this year. But he came on the last day and he got 3 points there in the period of about 10 minutes, and they were just out of this world. Caught one ball from a puck out, threw it over the bar, and he got 3 unbelievable scores. Like, so, and then Bubbles has to join the mix again. So just their forward play is just unbelievable, their vision, the whole lot. But I just think Galway will go man to man with them the next day, like they did in last year's semi-final, get touch tight and really try to ruffle them up and hope that it will get them a win. But it will be very similar. I reckon it will be very, very similar, kind of a competitive edge to it as it was in last year's semi-final.
Yeah, it's actually very simple, Conal. You go 15 on 15, you go touch tight, you don't allow that good ball go in. And that's where you stop it at source. You even see with Dublin footballers, teams play sweepers, give them Keane O'Sullivan. So you're only shooting yourself in the foot. When Kerry actually gives Keane O'Sullivan something to think about, that's when they get joy. Like this idea that I know you might think you're helping your own defence, but think of the handy ball that's coming into them. Yeah, so like, I mean, it makes no sense in hurling, I don't think, not against a team like Tipperary, who've got that half back line, who are all smart, clever players.
Well, look, I think when you have a team like Galway, the talent that they have, you know, they have confidence in themselves that they believe if we go man on man, you know, and we get things right and get our tactics right, we should win and we will beat them. And once we're working hard, and maybe it's different for other teams where they feel their quality mightn't be as good, so they're kind of nearly, let's hold tight for 40 minutes and see how we're going then and then attack. But look, I think that, as Damien said, Galway will go man on man. They'll try and get really physical with them, I'd say, around the middle, and it's going to be a great game. It's all set up to be a good game, but I still feel that Tipperary are probably a little bit more a little bit more advanced than Galway are at the minute, and it's not the end of the world if Galway don't win it, I would feel, but when you're in a final, you certainly want to go and have a good crack at it. But Galway have bigger things down the road, and that's probably what they really, really, really want. But look, a league final is a league final at the end of the day.
Yeah, just quickly, on
this, Colm, I reckon Sunday will be very similar to the Tipperary Wexford game, where it'll be tough, physical, it'll be competitive. Every ball will be fought for, only that it'll go on for the 70 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, Wexford kind of, you know, faded away. You know, they just weren't able to keep it going, keep the pressure game going, whatever. You know, they just fell a little bit short last 10 minutes in particular.
Yeah.
But up to that point, right, and even the League Two soft goals in the first half, Wexford against Tipperary, right? And if they didn't leak them two goals, like, I think I'm going off memory here now, that Wexford had more points scored than Tipperary in the first half, where they were competitive to the bone, by they gave it everything, you know, but just aren't able to keep it going. Where I believe Galway, it'll be a very, very similar game, only Galway will go toe to toe for the 70 minutes, and I think it'll be a really, really competitive league final, and that's what the Allianz National League want as well. You know, they did a great league final, they did a double league final last year with Waterford and Clare, so I just expect it to be very similar as well to the Wexford Tipperary game, where it'll be tough. And just to say on that note, Wexford knew that Tipperary don't really like when you get into their faces, you know, even though Tipperary have stepped it up with the manned up to the challenge and their work rate has improved, so I suspect it'll go something like that as well.
Yeah, quickly, lads, before we go to predictions, Joe Canning's new role as centre-half forward, this was got me thinking, can he cause Tipperary problems, as in he probably plays centre-forward dropping into midfield? So then you've got that conundrum with Ronan Maher, does he follow him in there and leave the middle open, or does he hold the middle and you can't leave Joe Canning? It's like the Richie Hogan thing when he plays centre-forward Kilkenny. It's such a smart move to play such a good player at centre-half forward, and the centre-half back doesn't really know whether he's coming or going. You'd imagine Ronan Maher might hold the middle, that's what he usually does, but you can't really do that against Joe.
No, you can't. It'll be very interesting to see, you know, what way they do set up. Because look, I think Joe, he's not going to just stay in that centre-forward position. A lot of times in the weekend he was out around the middle looking for breaks and giving good ball in, and then he go inside for a second. So then does Ronan Maher go back inside, or do they try and change it? And I know that's what they're probably trying to do, is you're trying to get that maybe a minute or two where the defenders don't know whether whether I mark him or will someone else, or I pass him over, and that's the second that you want to get that ball into Joe inside, where he's nearly one on one, and he can get a chance for a goal. But
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see, and I think it is a great move to put him centre forward.
I think so too.
Frees him up a little bit, and it's not over reliant on him where he's maybe full forward or wing forward. It's a different role, and centre forward seems to be suiting him so far.
He's such a tasty playmaker as well, Damien, giving that ball into that full forward line, and they're flourishing in there, Cooney, Mannion and Whelan.
But Joe will be centre forward next year, there's no doubt about it, right? And we all know how good Joe is, right? But it's as simple as this, right? Joe will come out into the middle of the field to gather ball, he'll come out to the side to gather ball, right? And he'll hit in a good distribution of ball because he knows what it's like playing inside, right? But the big thing next day is the players have to find, you know, Joe's role now is kind of playing centre forward, coming deep, just like you said there about Richie Hogan. But the whole thing is the boys have to find him with the ball. They can make an idiot of him as well.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
When I say make an idiot of him, he could be in the centre forward channel and he could break 20 yards, 25 yards, roaming away, just drifting off Ronan Maher, right? And you'll get a wing back, right? And the wing back has to use his brain and has to use his hurling brain and his initial confidence to say, okay, I have the ball now. He has to take a quick look up and go, okay, I see Joe there. Just for example, that it's Joe, right? Or you'll get an awful lot of players and they just want to get hurled out of their patch, out of the way, and they could drive it straight down on Ronan Maher. Ronan Maher staying in the centre back channel, catches the ball and he delivers it up, and next thing all of a sudden you start going, who's marking Ronan Maher? Will you ever pick him up? Will you not pick him up?
I know.
Or how come he's not marking his man or whatever? And that's what happens. And it has happened to me because I've often played centre forward for the club, and I could be drifting off my man and there'd be no one on me for 30 yards, and next thing one of the lads might get a ball and drive it 70 yards down the field straight to my man.
Yeah, I'm just laughing at that, because that's happened to me in football, but I presume it happens way more in hurling because there's long clearances.
Yeah, so
there's no motivation to actually make a break,
you know. So it's sometimes there's a saying, sometimes it's giving the smart ball. You know, it's not the handy ball, it's about giving the smart ball and the intelligent ball. So as I said to you, Joe is playing this role, and we've seen it the last couple of games, and Joe will then hit a nice ball into the inside line because he's used to playing in there and he knows what it's like, okay? But sometimes Joe's game could all boil down to how a cornerback and how a wingback hits the ball out. If they find him with the ball into his hand, he might be able to make stuff happen. But if they drive it long, straight down on top of his man, and no one on him, you're making an awful easy of him.
Yeah.
Or an easy, you know. So it's very important, just the smart ball, heads up hurling, and use your hurling intelligence. And that's where the number 11 can flourish, Colm. But if you don't get the proper ball, or be found with the ball, you could be made look like an awful idiot.
If I was Micheál Donoghue and I've got Joe Canning at centre forward, and I see a wing back that if Joe Canning breaks to both wings and a wing back doesn't pick him out on two occasions, I'm taking him off. Like, surely that's the game plan. That, like, I know there's times when you're under pressure and a clearance has to be done, Conal, but
yeah, no, but I think on that point with Damien, like, if he's not given the ball once, or say even once or twice, well, then Joe is under pressure himself. He goes, well, Jesus, like, I have to go back now and go in centre, go in on this centre back. And then all of a sudden the game plan is nearly gone from Joe, because he's worried then if he leaves it all, then the ball is going to be pumped in. But, like, I'm sure the Galway lads have worked on this
over the while.
And it's just going to be a little hand pass out, or a little stick pass straight into his hand, and then he can make things happen. But it certainly can be made a fool of very, very easy.
Yeah, okay, great stuff.
But it's irrelevant to Joe. If whatever player ends up in centre forward, if that's Galway's game plan, that the centre forward is allowed to roam and drift out into the middle of the field, there's the same applies to any player. It doesn't have to be if Joe goes into full forward, but it doesn't matter what player it is. If that's the game plan, you'll be hoping they will find that player.
Yeah, sure. Like soccer, lads, a number 10, if you're drifting and you're not and you're free, then you have to be picked, or else you drifting is a waste of bloody time. You're taking your own man out of the game. So, like, it's very logical. It'd be interesting to see that, though, how Ronan Marr, because another Ronan Marr so dominating, you nearly have to take him out of his comfort zone. Right, lads, we're going over time. We'll be back in a second with predictions.
It's bone to lie. There's no point in papering over like that. It is extremely tough. I won't tell you, but again, it's not about me or Morris or anyone else. It's about Waterford.
We've waited so long. I know I've seen it. One of your tweets yesterday said 6 years. It's a leash, man, but it's a long 6 years for us there, and we're absolutely thrilled.
I remember after Leinster final, I was through the morning, my nephew was out in the lawn and he was taking freeze with his socks pulled up, pretending to be TJ Reid, and fairly brought me back down to earth that day anyway.
Okay, predictions, lads. We've done plenty of talking about it. We've got Tipperary Galway 3 o'clock in the Gaelic grounds. Galway have played there last week. I don't know, do we throw that into the mix? We haven't mentioned it. Conal, I'll go to you first.
I don't think the venue will make any difference to the two groups of players. I just think that Tipperary are on such a vein of form at the minute that I think they'll probably win, and I can see them winning by 6-7 points.
Really?
Yeah.
Very unlike you to tip Tipperary as well.
It is very, and it's killing me to do
they
that.
They really impressed you. They really impressed you in that last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I just feel that they're a little bit. Look, we've talked about how good they are and everything, and I would just question Galway a little bit, maybe. And maybe that's in hope that they're not as good as I think they are when they're going to play in Dublin later in the championship. But for Dublin, it'd be great if Tipperary did win, and might give Dublin a bit of a boost, because Galway wouldn't be on such a high after winning the league. But no, I just feel that the Tipperary are a lot further down the road than this Galway team. Although Galway are very impressive and they were good, but you have to question who they were playing the last day of Limerick and everything. So I'm still going to stick with 6-7 points for Tipperary.
Yeah, okay, Damien, what do you think?
I'm going to go with my own county. I'm going to go with Galway. I think it's going to be very similar to the Wexford game. With Tip and Wexford only, I can see Galway seeing it out, going toe for toe. So I do, and I just think Galway, you know, we're saying that this is a Tipperary team that's, you know, are very used to playing with each other and all that, but so is this Galway team. This is basically the same Galway team for the last 3 years now, and Micheál Donoghue, the Galway manager, has kind of been using realistically the same 18-19 players for nearly the whole league, so especially in the last three games. So I just think it's a very important game for Galway. I think they're well capable of beating Tipperary. The one thing about Tipperary, they always let you hurl against them. And I think if Galway can get a run on them, they've a great chance. I know it won't be easy, but I'm just going to tip Galway to win the National League. So I do, which will be it'll be an unbelievable statistic if Galway do win it, to say that the last 3 years has been Division 1B winners. So, yeah. But I'm going to go with my own county, Galway.
Right, okay. I think that's the would be the fifth league title since you've won the All-Ireland last. So you're able to win national leagues. It's the All-Ireland that you can't seem to get over that hurdle. Quickly, lads, before we go, there's Leinster Senior Hurling Championship Round 1. It's the Round Robin. Starts at the weekend. So Meath play Kerry in Park Talton. Meath are at home. And Laois play Westmeath in Amore Park. I know Laois are riddled with injuries. Now, we'll probably leave you off for the month, lads. We might get pundits from the counties of the Round Robin, you know, and just shine a bit of a light. We'll have a hurling show for the next few weeks until the main championship starts again. Do you know much about these counties, or who would you fancy here? Like, I mean, Kerry and Laois are the two teams in Division 1B, so immediately they're the ones that are jumping out.
Yeah, I think in that Meath and Kerry one, I think I've seen Kerry a couple of times playing. Like, they're really, really impressive. And I know, like, Darragh O'Connell plays at Dublin, and you know, the quality hurler that he is, he realistically should be playing with Kerry. But I think they have some really good top hurlers. I just don't think Meath will have enough, even though it's in Meath. And then in the other one, look, I think you said it yourself, Laois have a couple of injuries, and I think Westmeath are really the force, if you like, in that next tier coming. And you'd have to fancy that it'll be Kerry Westmeath.
Kerry Westmeath, you're going for Westmeath,
yeah,
over Laois?
Yeah, oh, definitely every day.
You hate Laois as well. Tipperary and Laois are your two counties. Damien, what do you think?
No, I'll go with Kerry and Laois.
Right, okay.
I think Kerry will be too strong, and I think Laois, especially on the ground of it being a home venue, that should be enough for Laois. Injuries or no injuries, I think they should be good enough to beat Westmeath, especially at home.
Yeah, I'll go Kerry Laois as well, and I'll go Tipperary in the hurling. Jeez, like, I mean, their forward line is sensational, but could easily be wrong on that. Right, listen, that's all we have time for. Thanks very much to the two lads, and we'll be back on Monday for a review of the league final. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go on. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today. Because, like, I'm heartbroken.